Once upon a time, there was a little girl who had a really bad temper. She got into trouble at school for hitting and yelling, and someone got the ball away from her, or she would call people names if they did something that she didn't like. Finally, one day, her mother took her out into the yard to the fence, the back of the yard, with a bag of nails and a hammer all her own. The mother said, "Every time you get mad, just come out here and hammer a nail in the fence." And the little girl thought this was a pretty great idea. For one thing, she got her own hammer. So every time she got mad for the next year, she would go grab that bag of nails and her hammer, and she would run to the backyard. And the hammer was heavy in her hand, and the wood was rough and splintery, and it was hard. But she used every muscle and all of her concentration to drive that nail into that board. And after a while, she began to manage her anger a little bit better. She went out to the yard less and less. So one day her mother said, "Okay, every day that you keep your anger in check, go out into the yard and take your hammer, take the other side of that hammer and pull a nail out of the fence." So the girl began day by day to pull nails from the fence. And each one that she pulled out, she noticed that there was a hole there. And she said, "Hey, Mom, I've pulled out all of the nails now, but their holes are still there. Will they grow back?" And her mom said, "No, they won't. That's what happens with anger. When we act with words or violence, we leave a wound sometimes that just won't heal. Anger leaves a lasting scar." Today, our gospel has Jesus continuing the Sermon on the Mount. And just like the few verses that are right before our reading today, he tells his disciples that he hasn't come to earth to tear down the old laws and destroy the covenant that God has made with his people. And he's not on earth to rip these things up and write new ones. But what he does want to do is shine a new light on the Torah. He wants to show the old laws in a new way. "Thou shalt not kill" is very basic. It's a very basic and righteous law. But Jesus' thing, saying that what leads to such drastic violence starts with just getting angry. Jesus suggests that anger can be just as destructive to people and to communities. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said in ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire." Now, I can remember at Briarcrest Baptist High School in Memphis, Tennessee, where I went to high school, I had a teacher that basically said if we called each other the word fool, that we were going straight to hell, you know. And you could call somebody all sorts of things, but if you used the word fool, it was over for you. And of course, that made me just want to say it even more. But the thing I think that my teacher was missing at my old school, bless her heart, is that she didn't quite grasp the meaning of what Jesus was trying to say. Jesus isn't come in to punish us with hell and fire. He's a loving God. He's not someone that wants to just slap our hands. He is doing quite the opposite, especially in our gospel reading today. He's talking about the law and then giving us this modern interpretation. And if we're to follow him, if we're to walk in the light, and put love and mercy and justice at the top of our lists, we must be personally accountable for our actions in regard to being in community. Don't get angry and don't take it out on others. Well, that's easier said than done. But if we do get angry, then don't get even. Actually talk to one another. Talk to the person that you're angry with. Reconcile with them. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come offer your gift. Reconciliation is only mentioned a few times in the New Testament. This one in Matthew, and then Paul talks about it in his letters, his epistles. Reconciliation through Paul's lens comes in two forms. It's our reconciliation with God, and then our ability to reconcile with each other. Paul believed that our life in Christ gives us a very unique perspective of reconciliation and a duty to repair the relationships with each other before there are permanent holes in our fences. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "So if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away." See, everything has become new. All of this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Placed in this light, reconciliation becomes not only a possibility, but it's a requirement for us. This ministry of reconciliation, it's a necessity, especially today in this world that is full of anger. There's a lot of name-calling and mean tweeting. I've had to block several of my relatives on Facebook, I promise you. You know, I mean, it just gets so mean and we're so angry. It makes me wonder if anybody has ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount. Right? And don't even start talking about traffic in Mountain View. It makes me feel like I need to have my own bag of nails, right? You know? But as Christians, this delicate ministry of reconciliation has been entrusted to us. And it's not just our responsibility, but we certainly bear most of it as followers of Christ to set this example. This is our duty. This doesn't mean that we can't let our voices be heard. This doesn't mean that we can't point out the places where there is injustice. As I've mentioned before, sometimes putting ourselves in this position of reconciliation and putting God's kingdom first, we find ourselves in uncomfortable situations where we're really at odds with society. But even then, we need to practice respect for each other and people that have views that are different from us. I believe that Christ is always calling us to the backyard to show us the holes in our fences as he begs us not to make more. He calls us to love in the face of anger. He calls us to forgive in the face of argument. He calls us to be reconciled with each other because he has reconciled us with God. We don't need to be a saint to live into this. God knows that we're not perfect, but as followers of Christ, as Christians, we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We are Christ's hands and feet in this world, and these hands are not for gripping a hammer, but open to lift up everybody in our community. Hands that through forgiveness can smooth the scars left by anger. Hands that reach out in mercy for love's sake. Amen.